This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of MyOldManSaid.com. It's something for the weekend time. Joining me to discuss what happens after Mostar Bosnia. What happens next, Mr. Chris Budd?
Hello, sir. Well, we go to Brentford next.
What's higher or lower in terms of sexier than Mostar? You going higher or lower with the Brentford? Lower.
Different. Probably lower. my mind was fast-forwarding to Middlesbrough in January.
Supporting this My Old Man Said episode is Green King Sport. It is the season for festive football, and the best way to watch it, down at your local Green King sports pub, of course. After all, Christmas is a time to catch up with friends old and new, so round up your team and get down your local for refreshing pints, good food and live action of every Christmas cracker. Every fixture from TNT, Sky and Amazon is live at Green King Sport. That means wall-to-wall action on their huge HD screens. So head to your local Green King and watch every Watkins winner, Martinez save and dodgy VAR decision in an atmosphere worth sharing. Download the Green King Sports app and you'll receive 10% of drinks every single time there's sports on the telly. Also, watch out for a future episode when we will be giving away a free £100 tab to a My Old Man Said listener. Locked in a cage in Brentford, that's what's next for the Villa away fans after the chicken pen of Mostar. But a real opportunity here because Brentford, another team with injury issues. You've got the Zulu sign-making Ivan Toney, obviously not out and injured but suspended. He's back in January the 16th, so he's missing this game. But the guy who's replaced him and has scored 7 goals to his name this season.
Yeah, and Bumo's out as well. Yep.
So, good time to visit Brentford.
And they're not in good form. Now, traditionally, you would think, in Villa terms...
That builds us up for a fall.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Traditionally, you would think, oh God, here we go.
But you may have noticed that Villa were in cruise control against Zrinjski in the 1-1 draw, which sees us seal the group and sit back until the draw is made in February to find out who we're playing in March. So now it's all eyes on the prize in terms of top four. Because top five, thanks to our chums in Manchester and Newcastle.
Yeah, cheers for that, lads.
Probably won't be a good enough first time for 11 years that, only two English teams have got out of the group stages in the Champions League. When you kind of need as many English teams doing well this year just to boost the coefficient so they get that extra place. But after recent results, we have now slipped. Because it's only two countries will get that extra slot. And now English teams are now, England are now third in the coefficient with a bit of ground to make up. Germany and Italy have the places at the moment.
Although you would say across all the competitions combined, you know, you'd fancy City and Arsenal to go reasonably well in the Champions League. You'd fancy Liverpool to probably go all the way in the Europa League, and West Ham are in there too. Brighton are in there too. And you'd hope that Villa can go a long way in the Conference League, but it could be a bit of a 11th hour, 5th place thing where it changes pretty late in the season.
Yeah, sure, it's not over yet. But yes, you would need Villa, Liverpool.
And probably one of City and Arsenal.
And City, yeah. Well. But there's a flip side to this, because we're looking at it through the lens of, United and Newcastle haven't helped Villa get potentially scraped through on fifth place to get into the Champions League. But what happens if we're in March and we are like 18 points into the Champions League places, looking good, we're in third or fourth, and you're just looking behind you and you see the likes of Newcastle and Manchester United fighting out for that fifth place, and you think, well, we could win the Europa Conference League, but it might allow Newcastle and United back in fifth place. So I think we'll play the academy players.
Some of our big players have got tournaments this summer.
Yeah, so I think we're going to put some academy players in here just to limp out in the last 16, just because we don't want to. God, that would be real shithousery, wouldn't it? It'd be really petty shithousery.
The kind of thing you do in a final.
No, you wouldn't. If you're in the final, you've got to win the final. That's the Villa way in Europe anyway. But if you're in that, you do a Martin O'Neill, you think, well, if you let Newcastle and Man United into the Champions League, which financially is the big thing, you're giving them money. But if Newcastle are out the Champions League, they've got a problem in terms of financial fair play. Well, probably haven't, because they've got their Saudi larder of loan players they can pick from.
Pillage.
This is the bigger picture. Sometimes you got to sacrifice for the bigger picture. I'm not saying we're going to give up winning a trophy to do that, but
I hope not.
We're exploring all avenues of humour here. That's what we're doing. Any other news in recent developments before we get into this Brentford game?
There was the new investment that's obviously coming into Villa, which we'll probably speak about more in the main
yes.
show.
They are based in on the east side of the States, aren't they? With offices in New York and Philadelphia. That's more, I think, big picture investment, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. It's probably to allow us to push on a little bit more. Potentially securing funds for the stand, etc.
Yeah, because it's not so much on the pitch. People are going, oh, we can go big in January. No, you're still...
Still bound by rules.
Bound by rules in terms of the financial fair play situation. But the infrastructure around that, you can build, a gold-plated stadium. That's not going to affect things. It's just the team, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the financial fair play.
Yep.
Right, Brentford... Well, Mr. Bud, back before the war and after the war, we had no problems against Brentford in the late 30s and the early 40s.
Lucky little Brentford, who just get in the way sometimes, but we'd always sweep them aside.
Although they did get in League Division 1 back in the day, but, they'd come to Villa Park, take a 5-0 pasting, 5-2 pasting. Weren't uncommon. Then we'd play them in the FA Cup in the 50s. We'd beat them there. Never lost to them until we visited.
Days of Tony Shearer.
We visited the championship, and then it was especially at their ground. We couldn't lay a glove on them. Luckily, they've knocked that ground down.
Thank God.
And rehoused themselves, and we still haven't won there.
I mean, we can go there and score now.
Yeah, there has been a development there, at least. So, over to you, Unai Emery.
Yeah, here's another one to get off your back. It's bizarre, the record there against them. It just seems to be incapable of going there and getting a win. I mean, even the game last year, we snatched the draw. It wasn't like we particularly deserved it.
I mean, this is after that great Villa manager, is it Aaron Danks?
Yeah.
Managed to absolutely crush the curse within like 10 minutes at Villa Park, where we absolutely steamrolled them. There was a lot of relief in that game because we hadn't been used to seeing Villa play free-flowing football, but you knew you had a talented team.
It was great fun, that one.
Underperforming, and then within like 10 minutes or so, you were like, well, hello, there they are. There's the Villa.
It set the tone for what was to come.
That was the first win against those boys since the 50s. So crazy events. But yeah, we are actually looking for our first away win against them in this century. And probably a good time because their form not so hot. Last six games, they've won two, lost
four.
Won one
in the last five, basically.
Luton was their last win. It was about three league games ago, 3-1. And then they beat West Ham at home as well. Arsenal beat them 1-0 at their place. So that's that's their last three home games.
It's still a tough place to go.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the home situation, their actual overall home record in eight games, well, they're 10th in terms of home records. 1-3, drawn 3, lost 2. Compared to who's top of that league, Chris Budd?
I couldn't tell you.
With the plus 20 goal difference and the immaculate immaculate 24 points out of 8 games. 25 Magical. Goals scored. Nobody's even near such a blitzkrieg achievement. Only 5 goals conceded. I have no idea who could be top of the home record this season based on those stats. It's either Manchester City, Arsenal, or I'd probably be the team that beat both of them at Villa Park.
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you'd think
Hurrah!
So.
Hurrah.
Villa's away record going into this game. We are 9th in terms of away form. Funny enough, Manchester City and Arsenal are the best away records in the league. Didn't they just get beat at Villa Park in the same
week?
I think they did. Jesus Christ, what an achievement to beat the two top away teams within a few days of each other. Astonishing. But Manchester City have won 5 in 9. So this is what people go, oh, Villa away form, not so great. Nobody's got an exceptional away record this season. Arsenal, 5 in 8. Liverpool, 4 wins in 9. And Villa have got 3 in 8.
It's kind of comparable, isn't it, really?
Yeah, Villa beat Brentford. Pretty much our away form's as good as anybody's.
Mm-hmm.
And Manchester City have lost 3 of 9 games away. Arsenal have lost 2 of 8. You know, West Ham, 6th best away form, played 9, won 4, drawn 1, lost 4. So Villa beat Brentford. It's as good as anybody's, really. So it's a bit of a myth. And it's a kind of a lazy assumption that Villa, we just need to sort out our terrible away form. It's not that terrible. It's top half. And if you beat Brentford, then you're kind of in the top 5 or 6 away forms.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're playing against the Brentford side, who you wouldn't say they stood out much. They got a lot of credit last year, didn't they? Whereas statistically, they are actually on a lot of these, low impact, should we say, stats that don't necessarily mean a lot if you don't win the game. But all of their stats this year are actually better than last year. But of course, they've lost, and recently they've lost probably their two most threatening players to actually put the ball in the bloody net. And that's kind of what it all comes down to.
Yeah, they're creating more chances per game. 9.38 compared to 7.747. More touches in the opposition box.
Way more passes completed.
Way more shots as well in a game. 14 compared to 10 last season. XG, as you said, up 1.86 compared to 1.52. You know, it all looks a bed of roses, doesn't it, for them this season? But you've got to remember, up until the final furlong, they were in for the potential competition for Villa with them and Fulham for that Europa Conference League slot.
Yeah, they were kind of like the hipster's choice, weren't they? And for those who love their stats.
Well, and old Franks.
Yeah, but they've obviously had a lot of injuries this year, and that's obviously disrupted them. And I think it's probably not helped them on the road much, where, the fact that you're going to Sheffield United and giving them a rare 3 points, which I actually predicted they would lose that game. I thought they probably would. It felt like a good one for Sheffield that day. But it would probably be nicer to play them at Villa Park, but it's pretty much nice playing everybody at Villa Park right now.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It's interesting. When you look at the league table, just zooming out a little bit, Brentford, they are a middle of the table team now. And, that's credit to them because...
Well, they've come a long way.
Normally you'd just expect potential relegation battle, but they're comfortable. They're 10 points above the relegation zone even after just 16 games. But you see, they've played 16. They've only won 5. 10th place, Fulham, played 16, won 6. Above them is your likes of West Ham, Brighton, played 16, won 7. So this is a low percentage of wins. Manchester United in 6th have won 9, drawn none, lost 7. So you can get up to 6th.
A Man U team that are dreadful at the moment.
Get up to 6th in the league and you've got almost like a 50-50 team in terms of whether they're going to win or lose or not. So that shows you really what you're dealing with when you get higher up. You probably have to include Spurs in the conversation here because they've won 9 out of 16 and lost 4 compared to United's. But then, your top 4, there is a potential gap growing there because, Villa are 8 points above 6th place, above United. Liverpool won 11, lost 1, 11 out of 16. Arsenal, Villa, all 11 out of 16 wins. Because Villa have got winnable games, haven't they, until Christmas? United, probably the hardest one at Old Trafford. But it'd be interesting to see the league table at the turn of the year if that kind of top 4 or 5 is not almost like in a separate league to the rest of the league table? Because the way it's starting to shape up, it looks like it could be.
Well, it kind of, you know, if you, as you said, if you zoom out, you'd hope, especially from our point of view, that the top can pull away a bit, and the bottom, they seem to be getting cut adrift a little bit as well, especially now that Everton have pulled away from the bottom.
So the relegation pretty much could be sorted out by the time of the year, and then your top four or five could have a bit of a gap, and we go back to what we were joking about originally, where Villa can just get knocked out of the 16 just to keep that coefficient down, just to make sure that fifth place doesn't count.
Keep the Cockney Reds at arm's length.
Yeah, keep an eye on the development of the league, because it's not like a level gradient, shall we say, throughout.
No,
looks like the top is going to move away. The middle's just hashing around, and then
it's quite a big middle this year, though. Yeah, it feels like.
Yeah, there's loads of middling teams, shall we say? Right, threats of Brentford and Thomas Frank's having to. Shuffle, isn't
he? You'd call it, yeah, big time. They change formation, they change personnel a lot, so it's kind of difficult to know what to expect from them. I think they, you know, for example, the last couple of home games, they've played a 4-3-3 against Luton and won, but then they played a back five against Arsenal. So it's hard to know what exactly you're going to face in this game, because it's whether or not Brentford feel really positive and think, well, we've got to go after Villa, or if actually they kind of think, well, actually the team who've probably kept Villa at arm's length at best this year over two games are Mostar, by just parking the bus and hitting on the brake.
Yeah, they got a draw, they'd be happy with that. And
I would have thought
so. See how Villa can get frustrated into a draw. But what I liked about the Mostar game was we didn't really break too much sweat and rested the likes of Watkins.
We did the bare minimum, I would say. I saw there was a couple of fans moaning about it online and a little bit of press. And it's kind of like it was a bit of a nothing game. They couldn't win that, you know, because you don't get a bonus point for thumping someone 5-0. So it's like, well, what do we gain by doing anything other than the bare minimum here? Just come here, get the job done, get everybody back to Birmingham fit and healthy.
Because somebody who's a Brighton fan said to me, you drew against Mostar? And I was like, well, we only needed a point.
And that was only because we switched off for the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's no big deal. I'm just looking at some of their injuries. I mean, they have got a bunch.
It's like the spine of the team, really. The fact that you've lost, you know, Mbeumo and Tone up front, though, for a side like Brentford, who've, you know, they've got some good players
Mattias
there.
But Jensen, he's 50-50-ish. He's missed the last four games. Yeah, they are basically living to adapt, aren't they?
Yeah, and I'd actually say they've done fairly well doing it. They've shuffled the pack a lot, but they've still kind of kept in the middle of the table and taken a couple of scalps. So they've not done a dreadful job at it, but that's kind of what they do, isn't it? Brentford traditionally do a punch above their weight, and they are greater than the sum of their parts, without using too many
cliches. Nathan Collins has got a chance of coming back. He's also missed the last four games in defence. So there's a couple of players on the verge there, Jensen and Collins, that might come and reinforce them after missing three or four of their last games. But beyond that, I mean, it's more big hitters, isn't it?
But they've got Neil Maupay back.
Yeah, I did notice that a few weeks ago. I didn't remember him crawling back to Brentford.
He's kind of done the rounds, hasn't he, a little bit the last few years?
Yeah, it's more like tail between the legs, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And Maupay will play down the middle.
Yeah,
but it depends what's formation. They've played sort of three formations in the last three matches. So they played a 4-3-3 at Sheffield United, they played 4-4-2 at Brighton, and then they played like a back five against Arsenal the other week. So it's,
I mean, look at the West Ham game, for example, when they beat West Ham.
Yeah. They beat Luton with a 4-3-3.
Yeah, but you've got to look at calibre of team. West Ham are a bit more on our level than Luton are.
Or Arsenal when they played a back five, which I think they might do in this game.
But they went 4-3-3 at home, Maupay in the middle, Wisser on the left-hand side of a three, and then Mbeumo, who is obviously not playing. Jensen plays on the left. So if he comes in, but I don't know. I don't think they've got the personnel to go four outright 4-3-3 at home against Villa.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if Collins is fit, he will slip back into centre-back, no doubt. But, you know, these are people who have missed months as opposed to the odd week. So, I mean, I must admit, I'm not au fait with what their actual injury is and whether they need drip feeding in or if you can throw them straight back in. But you've got to boil it down as a real opportunity here. And, I mean, the threat is just more the record, really, isn't it? Because you're playing a Brentford team, perhaps if you could choose any time in the season to play them, you'd take it now.
You would think so, unless you feel that their run has to come to an end. Yeah, they've had a couple of bad results. They're probably looking forward to having a game back on their own turf after a couple of, you know, bad trips. But
But in terms of coming off a European night as well, you know, if you're playing away after a European night, this isn't too bad considering where Brentford are at the moment. But at the same time, it's our record that's the main threat here.
Mm-hmm.
After we beat Arsenal, we probably won't win against Brentford now based on our previous away performances. Because even though we beat Spurs, well, overall performances, it's resilience that got us whatever we got from those games.
Yes, yeah, we could have been blown away at Tottenham in the first sort of 20 minutes, half an hour.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting how positive Brentford are, because teams that have been positive against us, and i.e. whether they've attacked the high line as Forest did, that's where you're going to get results against Villa. If you let Villa play the game they want to play at their tempo, then Brentford are probably going to struggle. But if they get under our skin, this could be a tricky one.
I think it's a tricky one anyway. I'm glad that we managed to keep a few of those heavy hitters out of the team in Bosnia. Obviously, you know, Watkins didn't get on the pitch. Tielemans didn't even travel. Kamara didn't come on. So you've actually kept a kind of a core of the group. You know, McGinn only played, was it 55 minutes? And I'd imagine Emery was probably disappointed in actually having to give him that long.
Yeah, he shouldn't have been playing really at all. That should have been game, set and match without him. But, you know, respect to Zrinski, because they were tough over both games. They caused Villa a lot of problems and a good learning curve, because even in the Premier League, nobody sat back against Villa so successfully than Zrinski did.
Not
I mean,
at all.
That low block was a proper one as well, but it was well organised.
Two banks of four, wasn't it, basically?
Very disciplined.
It was more.
And they did, to a large part, you know, snuffle Villa out, and McGinn had to come off the bench to spark it up. I mean, I've joked on Twitter I'd have taken him straight off after he just came on for a quick cameo.
I mean, it's a really good goal, wasn't it, actually, the Zaniolo finish? It's a lovely ball, great touch, good finish. Hopefully he takes a bit of confidence from that. Not that I'd expect him to be in the starting lineup for this one, but it's good that you've had a couple of guys kind of come in and a couple of young lads come in and made their debuts. You know, you've had young Philip Marshall in goal, who's had, generally speaking, a pretty good game, I thought. He was unlucky for the goal, and there was a pretty big error when Chambers came on, who actually I thought, when Chambers came on, he looked like a bit of a liability, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Whereas everyone else, I thought, you know, did the best they could in a kind of a, sometimes a difficult scenario. And then young Tommy O'Reilly came on and made his senior debut as well. So it's it's a positive thing, that result, even though it's not very spectacular. It's good. You know, that's what those games are there to, you know, to be used for.
Going back to the Brentford game, Mom's Pool panel result.
I'm going to go for a scrappy little 1-0 away win, I think, in this one. Possibly a draw, but I think we can win this one. I don't expect us to blow them away at all.
No.
I think it'll be a pretty hard fought game, this one. It could even be sort of similar to the Arsenal game, where we get a chance, take it, and then have to grind a bit.
Yeah. Do we put a new head on now? Are we Villa of a level of the Champions League where we go Brentford away, 3 points? But I don't know. You look at our away form, and even Mostar, you can throw that one in there. At the moment, you can't be arrogant, can you, turning
no.
up?
Not at all. And the fact, yeah, you've got no Luiz, no Dinia, who've both been huge players for us this season. That changes the dynamic of how we'll play slightly.
Yeah, this is similar to how I'm going against Arsenal. I'm going to go, I'll go for the draw as well, but we're going to fucking win. Of course we are. But yeah, I'm not convinced at the moment in terms of how we've played away. But the thing that gives me more confidence, actually, and I'm kind of leaning to the win, I've got to be honest, is that their absentees.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm changing it for a Villa win, actually. Funny enough, the Manchester City game was the only convincing result we've really had recently.
In the last few weeks, yeah.
Yeah, but I think we might be spurred on a bit by those two results. There's going to be an added conviction, bit of extra belief. Yeah, mm-hmm. The suspensions is a thing that does perhaps balance in a little bit to their injuries, but, you know, we'll see.
I also think it spurs you on this week, knowing that the teams who are around you are all probably playing games they'd expect to win. So you want to put a marker down in this one. I think Spurs go to Forest. United have got to go to Liverpool, but you think, well, that'd be good for us. Newcastle play Fulham at home, which they should be winning. City play Palace. So it's like you'd expect most teams around you to win this weekend. So you do just want to, just for psychological reasons, want to keep your run going and keep you in and amongst the batch.
So the question is, who's going to drop the ball out of the Champions League contenders? Will anybody? We shall see.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.